Ksuvas Perek He, Mishnah Ches, 5:8. This Mishnah and the next one will discuss the various financial obligations that a husband has regarding his wife. So we're talking here about She'er and Ksus, food and clothing, etc., spending money. So the Mishnah has a case of Hamishare es Ishto al Yidei Shlish, someone who's supporting his wife through a third party. That means they're not living together. He is away overseas learning in yeshiva or working abroad, and therefore he still has to support his wife. So he's having like a third party be the one to bring her her food and clothing that he has to provide. So in such a scenario, the Mishnah will say the minimum amounts of food he needs to provide and the minimum amounts of clothing. The food part, so, and the clothing, the truth is as well, is this only talks about, as the Mishnah will say in the next Mishnah Tes, for the poorest Jew. And that was the absolute bottom amount of financial support that a husband has to provide his wife is going to be in the list here. But if the husband is more wealthy, he has to provide more, everything according to his wealth, that she should be taken care of in a way that he can afford, the best he can afford. As far as supporting one's wife through a third party, so the Ramah Paskins, a person may not opt to not live with his wife or not eat meals with his wife. It's proper that a husband and wife live under the same roof and that they share meals together. So the case here is where that's not possible. He's gone away for whatever reason, for some permitted reason, but now that he's away, he still has to provide for her. Interestingly, the Rambam does learn that it's permitted for a husband and wife to live in different homes under separate roofs, and for the husband to actually take his meals separate from his wife. But the Rambam then will certainly require that on Shabbos they eat together, as we'll see more about that in the next Mishnah. Okay, so if a man is supporting his wife from a distance through a third party, the requirements regarding food are as follows. Lo yivchos la mishnei kabin chitin. He cannot provide her anything less than two kabin. A kav is roughly, it's called 2 liters of wheat. That needs, you know, wheat kernels that can be ground. Oma arba kabin sorin, or 4 kabin, roughly, that's called 8 liters of barley. So we're talking basically gallons, basically 1 gallon of wheat kernels or 2 gallons of barley kernels. The reason why you need more barley than wheat is because barley has a lot more bran, and that you need more of the raw material to get the same amount of edible, nutritious food. Rabbi Yossi lo pasakla saorim el Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yossi is saying the only reason why we're having a bigger measurements for the amount of barley as opposed to wheat is because we're talking about Rabbi Yishmael, who ruled that way. Shehaya samach le'edom. He lived in a part of the country near Edom, meaning like I'll call it near the Jordanian border, where the barley was just inferior, and therefore we need a lot more barley to make up for its inefficient, an inferior quality to have the requisite amount of food. Meaning Rabbi Yossi's disagreeing with Tanakama, and that he's holding that normally simply 2 kabin would be sufficient for both wheat and barley. Tanakama says no, it's always going to be 2 kabin of wheat or 4 kabin for barley. Venosan la chatzi kav kitnis. In addition to providing the grain to make bread, he also needs to provide her something to eat with the bread. So it'll be kitnis, some kind of beans or whatever it is, some kind of legume. Vachatzi lug shemen, and also a half of a lug of shemen. A lug is basically 500 cc, like a pint. So a chatzi lug is half of that, so 250 cc, or like basically a cup of oil. Here we're talking about olive oil, and this olive oil actually is going to have 2 purposes, both for eating, like dipping bread into, and also for providing light. Don't forget, this was, if after dark they wanted to see something, they had to use oil to provide themselves with a candle. That was for that. V'kav grogros, as far as fruit goes, he provides her with 1 kav, again like roughly 2 liters of grogros, dried figs. O mana devela, or if he's providing her with the figs in the form of a devela, that's kind of like a pressed fig brick. So then a mana. A mana is a unit of weight, as opposed to a kav, which is a unit of volume. But they're basically roughly the same. And a mana is 100 zuz. It basically comes out to roughly just under a pound, okay? Like half a kilo. V'im einlo, if he has no figs to give her for whatever reason, then posek l'umasan, peros m'makam acher. He'll have to then get some other kind of fruit to provide her, let's say, you know, dates or something, in equal quantities, in comparable quantities. That's the food requirement. That's the minimum food he has to provide her. You can imagine, you know, that's pretty scant. But as my grandpa used to say, there were no good old days. That's what it was like back then for eating. As far as clothing and other stuff around the house goes, v'nosen la mita, he has to provide her with a bed. The bed they're imagining here is kind of like a cot. So you essentially have, let's say, like a frame, and then across the frame were like ropes, you know, spread across the frame on top. And then on top, you have like, I'll call it a mattress. That's the mapatz u'machatzeles. That's the gear. So we have that it's both a mapatz and a mechatzeles. Mechatzeles are like reeds, and that would essentially be functioning, I'll call it as like the mattress. So you need something harder to go on top of those ropes so you don't feel the ropes. And then the mapatz is the softer layer, which goes on top, that, you know, like maybe think like a box spring and a mattress, however you want to imagine it. The point is, machatzeles is the harder, firmer, but rather unpleasant to sleep on, but required so you don't feel the ropes. And then the mapatz is a softer layer on top of that, on which you would sleep. Now, the Gemara says that, listen, if she has like a real bed, which would look like essentially you have like an animal hide, a piece of leather spread across the cot, much more comfortable and soft, then the mapatz or machatzeles would not be required. V'nosen la kippa la rosha. She needs a head covering. We're talking here, just think of like a turban or something. You know, a matpachat. The word kippa from the word to cover, kofeh, but it's the same, become like our yarmulke. The head covering is the same word here, kippa. V'chagor la masneha. She needs a belt also, because their clothing was sort of like, think of like a toga, like a big, you know, sheet wrapped around themselves. So she needs to wrap a belt around her waist so that her clothes, you know, don't interfere when she's trying to do work, etc. And shoes, literally from time to time or from holiday to holiday. The Gemara says we're talking about a woman who lives in a... First of all, that means three times a year, because we're talking about the three Moadim, the Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. So three times a year she needs new shoes. And the Gemara says we're talking about a woman who lives in like a rocky, mountainous place where the shoes wear out. So she's three times a year. But other Meforshim, Rabbeinu Yonah, and so on, say if it would be like in a, it wouldn't be the case, one pair would be fine. The point the Gemara says further is that he should give it to her around the, like in time for the three various festivals, because then there's a separate mitzvah of a simcha b'chag, and he'll be mekayim that mitzvah of being mesameach his wife by giving her shoes in time for the holidays. That's the way to do it, even though, of course, holidays aren't quite spaced out equally. There's only 7 weeks between, you know, Pesach and Shavuos, but still, that's the way to do it. And then she'll have three pairs of shoes. V'kelim, and that's for the rest of her wardrobe, her clothing. Shel chamishim zuz mishana l'shana. The budget is 50 zuz from year to year. That's the clothing budget, absolute minimum clothing budget. Now, the way they would wear their clothing, essentially, you think of it, listen, they didn't have the fine clothing we have today, since it was hand spun, you know, think like wool, you know, and you've met people in like Africa or South America, you know, indigenous peoples, whatever it is, how they dress. So the spun wool is rather thick in the beginning and fluffy and warm, and then as it gets worn, it gets more threadbare and thinner. So obviously, you want to have your thick plush new clothing in the winter time to keep you warm, and you want like the thinner, more threadbare stuff in the summer because you want to be kept much cooler. Okay, so that being the case, it says "E nosna lo chadashim b'mosachama." When he's giving her clothing, he can't give her new clothes that are like thick and plush and hot in the summer days, because it's not fair, it's not right, not fun. "V'lo shchakim b'mosachashamim," and he can't give her like worn out thin clothes in the winter months, because again, she'll be cold. Elenosin la kelim shel chamishim zuz b'yimosa geshamim. He gives her a full wardrobe based on this 50 zuz budget in the winter time, beginning of winter. So then she'll be warm in the winter. V'hi miskasa b'vlaosehen, and she'll continue to wrap herself up, keeping warm in their more worn out, threadbare versions b'yimosa chama in the summertime, because she want, it'll keep her covered, but not too hot. The shechakim shela. As for the worn-out clothes, the rags, so they're still hers. Meaning, he can't say, "Listen, I brought you new clothes. I want the rags back for myself." And she wants those rags because the woman would wear rags during their nida part of their life, because in the good old days, those clothes would get dirtied, and therefore she can dedicate special rags for those days, so she, when she's not, and either she can be wearing her nice, clean, unsoiled clothing.